Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord Reapers United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the man without a plan, the Dark Lord himself, the Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth and hardcore facts. Occasionally, we have fun over here. If you're looking for celebrity gossip, this is not the podcast for you. This podcast is for real topics and real situations and real people. And occasionally, we have fun over here. Don't like what I have to say? Two words. Don't listen. Boycott my social media. Boycott this podcast. Boycott anything that has my name attached to it. It's that simple, people. Now, I'm pretty sure you saw the title of this episode. Here we are again, having the same conversation. Same story, different character. Another murder of an unarmed black man at the hands of police officers. But this time it comes with a twist. Can you guess what that twist is? Oh, we gonna get into it. The murder of Kyrie Nichols, unarmed black, an artist, a father. We gonna get into it. So buckle up, hold on tight, and let's spread some knowledge. And we're back, so we are talking about the killing of Tyre Nichols. On January 7th, 2023, five police officers of the Memphis Department severely beat Tyre Nichols during a traffic stop. But I want to talk more about who he was before this. Tyre Nichols was 29 years old. At least 6 years younger than me. He was a father, a young father, but a father nonetheless. He worked at FedEx, and he was also a skateboarder, an avid skateboarder, a dying art, if you ask me. He was also a photographer. He liked to take pictures of landscapes and sunsets. Very talented photographer. But more importantly, he was an innocent black man that worked very hard. But here's something that most people don't know about him. He suffered from digestive disease, a very crippling sickness. He was over 6 feet tall, but he only weighed 140 pounds. Imagine a grown man over 6 feet tall only weighing 140 pounds. 140 pounds. I bench press that for my warm up when I go to the gym. 140 pounds. Beaten to death for alleged reckless driving. He was beaten so bad that he called out for his mother, because that's where he was going, to his mother's home. It's sad on so many levels, people. Before I go any further, I wanted to say, usually you hear my intro to my podcast, but I switched it up. The song you heard is a song called Mr. Officer, No Justice, No Peace, recorded by up-and-coming new artist Jack Sparrow, spelled J-A-X-K Sparrow. You can find him on all streaming platforms. He drops his album later on this year, and that's one of his tracks. I spoke to him earlier this year, and he told me he wrote that song 5 years ago. A song that he wrote 5 years ago is relevant today. It's a shame a 25-year-old man in the prime of his life, after beating such a crippling disease, is taken out like this. But what makes this police brutality this fatal police brutality incident more heartbreaking than others? In our next segment, I'll go over the six officers that are responsible for this unnecessary, unwarranted tragedy. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are talking about the assault and murder of Tyre Nichols. Now, in this segment, I wanted to go over the names of the officers involved and why what they did was especially appalling. Now, here are the names of the main five officers who have officially been trialed, who has been fired and charged and arrested and out on bail. Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, Emmett Martin III, Desmond Mills Jr., and Justin Smith. There are more officers involved, but I want to focus on these five for a second. And what makes what they did so appalling? The initial stop was because they claim that Mr. Nichols was driving recklessly. But their body cam footage shows the most disgusting assault that I have seen in my adult life. I haven't seen an assault like that since I was in high school. I'm being honest. Now, what's the one common denominator that Mr. Nichols, sorry about that, people, that Mr. Nichols and the accused confirmed officers have in common? You guessed it. They're black officers. KRS-One told us this years ago, and Ice Cube reiterated it, but in a different way. Black police showing out for the white cop. I will admit, during my youth, growing up during the stop and frisk era, enforced by Mayor Bloomberg, jerk, 60% of the time when I was stopped by police officers and not dealt with fairly, stop and frisk, it was black officers. When I was falsely accused of theft, it was black officers that gave me a hard time. Sadly, don't get me wrong, I've had both good, bad, and in-between experience with law enforcement, and I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't break the law, but I'll never forget how they made me feel. But that's neither here nor there. It's not about me. It's about what these officers in Memphis, Tennessee did to this man. Six officers, and we're going to get to the sixth officer in a second. We're going to get to the six officers and the other people involved in a second, in the next segment. But these guys are very big, very brutal. Now, yes, Mr. Nichols is over 6 feet tall, but like I stated in the previous segment, he only weighed 140 pounds. And he was just beating digestive disease. So what physical threat could he have posed to these five officers who are armed with mace, tasers, and last but not least, handguns with live ammunition? What threat could he have posed to them? I'm just curious. I'd like to know. And what could have sparked this? What could have Nichols done to have warranted this? But I'll save all of this for how I really feel for my final thoughts. So when we come back, we are going to get into the other parts of this story. The sixth officer, the two deputies, and the EMTs who are involved as well. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the other public servants that were involved in the incident that caused the death of Tyre Nichols. Now, in the last segment, we went over the five officers that were initially arrested. We went over the names of the five officers that were initially arrested. Now, let's go over the sixth officer. He has been fired, but has yet to be charged. Preston Hemphill. He was the officer that you see clear as day in the video, in the body cam video, and we'll talk more about the body cam video in the next segment. You see him clear as day. He was the officer that was tasing Mr. Nichols and was directing what the other five officers were to do to Tyre Nichols. He has been fired, but has yet to be charged. Why is that? But let's get into the other factors. There were two EMTs that arrived on the scene that was supposed to render medical attention to Tyre Nichols after the vicious beating and assault that he suffered at the hands of the six officers. But the two EMTs did nothing for 19 minutes after getting to the scene. They did nothing. Their names are Robert Long and Jamichael Sandridge, who could be seen, they were seen on video, just standing around as Nichols was in pain on the ground. Like, we see this. And also, it was also said by Mr. Preston, you hear him clearly say on the tape, I hope they stomp his ass. Really? They said that. So, now that we've covered that part, let's get into, I want to talk more about what I saw on that tape. It was disgusting, people. If you have not seen this tape, it makes what happened to the late George Floyd. It made what happened to the late George Floyd look like child's play. That's how bad it was. I don't recommend anyone watching that tape. I've seen some vicious assaults in my day, but that one takes the cake. When we come back, I'm going to go into a factor that most people are not talking about. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, we're going to talk about the special unit that the five officers that murdered Tyre Nichols come from. And we're going to get into these special units that are in police departments across the nation. But let's focus on the main unit that they come from. They come from the five officers, which I named them earlier, come from a unit called Scorpion that has been officially disbanded after the incident. Scorpion is an acronym for Street Crime Operations to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhood. So basically, this unit was established to crack down on violent offenses and offenders within urban communities. There are a lot of specialized units like Scorpion all over. They are there for one reason or another. Every police department has a special unit. If you watch Law & Order, you see different units like that. So, Greg Donaldson, he's an associate. He's an associate professor at John Jay College for Criminal Justice. He said this, have softened special units as a solution, have often used special units as a solution in periods of rising crime, such as the crack epidemic in the 80s and 90s, and the most recent increase of violent crimes in cities during COVID, during the COVID pandemic. So basically, these units are created to crack down on certain things. But they were recently asked why the unit was given the name Scorpion. According to Donaldson, they said they're designed to intimidate the bad guys. That's why they're called Scorpion. They're not called the Helpers or the Defenders. They're called these names, which are designed to instill respect through fear. Well, they wanted the fear factor. They got it. So, what's different about special units? Special units can be effective. Patrol units spend most of their shifts responding to radio calls or riding traffic tickets, or leaving a handful of hours to do. The guys and gals that work the specialized units are not driven by the radio. They can focus on particular problems, whatever it is that police hierarchy says, what we determine to be a problem. Key word, what we determine to be a problem. This is a direct quote from Killinger. I'm going to get the name of the person that said that to you in a second. But, so, the special units do have a purpose. But what happens when they lose sight of their purpose and become everything that they're supposed to be fighting against? What happens when special units become gangs? It has been often reported that you have gang units, you have gangs that are in the police department, and they rob and extort just like any other street gang in the streets. But you don't have to take my word for it. There's a journalist in LA that tracks gangs that are in police units. And her name is Miss Castle. She's a journalist crime fighter. And I'm going to give you guys a clip from her most recent interview almost a year ago on The Breakfast Club in New York. Here you go, people.
So I have made it my business to investigate the gangs that are proliferating inside the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. I found 18 gangs that are currently functioning inside the Sheriff's Department.
Police gangs.
Deputy gangs.
Do they have names?
They have all kinds of names. We've got the Executioners for one, the Cavemen, the Vikings, Tasmanian Devils, Cowboys, Pirates. There's a ton.
Man, that's got to be a dangerous job for you. They gotta hate you.
Oh, 100% they hate me. I mean, matter of fact, just on Monday night, the sheriff of Los Angeles County did an hour-long radio show where he just spent an hour bashing me and threatening me. That's not the first time that happened. He actually threatened to post my home address.
The sheriff?
Yes.
That is...
So you see, people, me talking about these police units that can become gangs are not so far-fetched. Now, that woman has spent most of her life trying to put an end to that culture within the police department. What's the relevancy to this case? What if the Scorpion unit was a gang unit? Was a police gang? What if that's what they became? It's not too far-fetched. It's not a hard concept to grasp when you think about it. I mean, it boggles the mind. And time again, we hear about these things. In fact, the legendary Van Peebles, Mario Van Peebles and his father, made a movie called Gangs in Blue, which talked about a white supremacist group that had infiltrated an entire police unit. So you can look that movie up. It's available. You can watch it. It may be a fictional film, but it might be surrounded behind fact. But back to this particular case, the Scorpion Unit has been disbanded. But what if they just come? What if they go back under another name? What if they're still in that particular police precinct in the Memphis, Tennessee Police Department? What if they're still there? Something to think about, people. So, now that we've covered that aspect of this case, excuse me, when we come back, we're going to talk about the backlash behind the opinions of some people behind this case. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, I wanted to go over some of the opinions that some public figures have made and how they feel about what happened to Kyrie Nichols. Now, this is going to be hard for some people to listen to. In advance, I do not share the views of some of these people. Now, the first one is my favorite right-winger house, you know what, Candace Owens, aka Auntie Ruckus. But I got a new name for her and people like her. I got this from a TikToker. I'll give you his name in the next segment. I have a new name for people like Candace Owens, aka Auntie Ruckus, and former Sheriff David Clark. I'm gonna call you guys Coonesians. That's your new name, Coonesians. So let's listen to what Miss Owens had to say for a second. Sorry about that, people. Just waiting for it to queue up, because I don't follow this woman on YouTube. I'd rather hear nails dragged on a chalkboard.
We haven't had in a while racial riots. I miss racial riots, right? It's like we just need to something to happen to a black man for the entire world to be on fire about it, absent with very little facts. And I just miss that. I miss that. And don't worry, guys, because George Floyd 2.0 is potentially coming. It is potentially coming to Memphis, Tennessee. At least that's where it's going to potentially start. And if you listen to this police chief, who is speaking about a man, Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days after a traffic stop on January 7th, then you fully expect that anybody who rioted in the summer of 2020 for George Floyd is just waiting for the police cam footage to drop because of her words, right? She's saying, essentially, you're going to hear her in a few seconds. I'm going to note for people that are listening to this podcast and not watching it that she's a black woman. Her name's Carolyn Davis. And she's essentially saying, what you are going to see is so horrific and so bad, but please don't riot. Let's hear Carolyn in her own.
So you heard what this Coonesian had to say. You heard it from her, you heard it with your own ears, ladies and gentlemen. So I am going to save what I have to say to her and about her for my final thoughts. So this is what former sheriff Clark Davis had to say about what happened to Mr. Nichols. Let me bring that up for you. Here we go, people.
How about that one? Five black officers.
Hold up.
If we want to label this thing, it's black on black crime. How about that one? Five black officers, a black perpetrator. It's the kind of black on black violence that we see perpetrated every single day in this country in black communities across the country.
So you heard that from him, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing what some of these conservatives, black conservatives, aka Coonesians, the excuses they make. It boggles my mind, really and truly. But this is the one that really, like, kind of messed with me a little bit. This is the one that really messed with me. The comments made by podcaster and sports analyst Jason Whitlock. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to bring you what he had to say, because it's a lot, people. It's a lot. It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? So when we come back, we're going to get into that. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So this is part two of dealing with the Coonesians. Now, in this segment, I said I would bring you Jason Whitlock. Now, he's a sports analyst and he's a podcaster now, apparently. So I'm going to give you what he had to say about what happened to Tyre Nichols. Now, there is more than one, so bear with me, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to hear everything he had to say. So when I say what I have to say about him and Auntie Ruckus and Mr. Clark, you can say, well, he had that coming. So listen to this part of what he said.
About policing, I don't think this young man drove inappropriately. I think this cop pulled him over. They started pepper spraying him, no matter what he did. And because to me, one of the things I saw early on in the video is this dude is looking up at them like, what is going on? What did I do? He looks so confused and terrified. He can't figure out where all this hostility is coming from.
Exactly.
And so I don't think he had any choice but to run. he was jumped by a gang. That's what you do. And I think it's all rooted in the chaos within our... If there is no family structure, there will be no order in the community. And the community then is going to start coming up with solutions that create more disorder.
Okay, so you heard the first part, people. It started out like he had some sense. But for every comment that he had like that, he had another one just like this.
This is so much, so different from the George Floyd situation. Police were called there. George Floyd passing bad checks. They're trying to engage with him. He's high. It just spun out of control. That was organic. I haven't seen anything as it relates to this that looks organic to me. This looks premeditated and personal to me. This is what happens when standards get lowered and when you start trying to fix a problem that's virtually unfixable unless there is a commitment to restoring the family.
So, people, you heard the first part when he was talking like he had some sense, and then he starts spewing the BS. Now, here's the next part that he said, and I want you guys to hear him real good. Who he blames ultimately for what happened to Kyre Nichols. I want y'all to hear this for yourselves so you can't say you heard it secondhand or third hand or fourth hand or whatever. This is what he had to say.
By a single black woman, and that's what they got going on in the Memphis.
Hold on, let me rewind it.
They've elected put some black woman in.
Mothers are squarely to blame women. Take a listen.
Listen to this.
It looked like what young black men do when they're supervised by a single black woman.
Say
and
what?
That's what they got going on in the Memphis Police Department. They've elected put some black woman in charge of the police force. And we're getting the same kind of chaos and disunity and violence that we see in a lot of these cities that are run by single mothers. If we want to discuss the breakdown of family that leads to... disrespect for authority that causes you to resist the police and run from the police and not comply with the police because you resist authority at all times because there was no male authority in your home. Let's have that discussion.
Joining me now.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that, what he said for yourself. And I'll be addressing him in my final thoughts. I will be addressing him in my final thoughts. Now, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to address the part of the story that started out as a rumor, but it's become a fact. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So, in this segment, we are going to talk about the rumor. Now, I was taught at a young age there are six sides to every story: the hero slash victim, the villain slash bully, the rumor, the lie, the opinion, and finally the truth. Jamaican people have a saying where they say, if it no gossa, it almost gossa. Meaning, if it's not true, it's partially true. So earlier in the week, it was revealed from an anonymous source on social media, the world of social media, that Demetrius Haley, one of the officers involved, quick, stick a pin, there was a seventh officer involved, but his name has not been made public and he has also been disciplined. We're waiting to find out who that is too. So, back to Mr. Demetrius Haley, 30 years old. Turns out that Tyree Nichols, as we all know, he worked at FedEx. And Demetrius, his ex-girlfriend and the mother of his child worked at FedEx too. Demetrius took a picture. Apparently, it's been revealed that Tyree and Demetrius' ex-girlfriend, allegedly, were in a relationship. And Demetrius, after he beat up Mr. Defenseless Nichols, he took a picture with his personal phone and sent it to her. Now, that was the rumor that went around on social media for the longest. But here's what came out to be fact. Apparently, the same officer took a picture and sent it to five different people after he beat down Tyree Nichols. So there is truth to that rumor. Now, I'm going to save what I have to say about Mr. Demetrius for my final thoughts. So please tune in, because you're gonna take pleasure in what I have to say. But that's the rumor of the story. So when we come back, I'm gonna give you my final thoughts. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So here are my final thoughts. In advance, if you are offended, I meant it. With that being said, shall we begin? Shall I proceed? Yes, indeed. Let me start off by saying this. I've heard people say this, and I feel the same way. If you have 100 cops in a police precinct, and 99 of them do the right thing, everything by the book, they treat everyone fairly, and do their job to the best of their ability, but you have that one cop that is corrupt, and does the polar opposite of them, and none of the other 99 officers say or do anything about that one cop, congratulations, you have 100 bad cops. I say that to say this. This Scorpion unit, the way they did Mr. Nichols, this isn't the first time they've done something like that. Or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. This is all the time. This is something that they have done and consistently gotten away with. It has been revealed that a former victim of theirs has come forward with a civil suit against one of the officers, allegedly. So let's see how that pans out in court. My other problem is, five of the officers were fired and charged, which they deserve. How come the sixth officer, Mr. President, was fired, but he hasn't faced any charges yet? And he was telling them what to do. He wasn't making a suggestion, because the suggestion is, I think you should. Giving orders is, you should, you need to. That's giving orders. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference. Now, let me address the Comedians on this. Auntie Ruckus and Steven, a.k.a. Jason Whitlock. Come here. In the words of the late, great Boogie B, may he rest in peace, let me stress y'all out real quick. Because y'all bootlicking house slave, I can't describe y'all. Every chance you get, you two go against your own people. Now, what's her name? Kelly, the one that's on Fox News, that told LeBron James to shut up and dribble. Mr. Whitlock, you're a sports analyst, so I'm going to give her the same advice. I'm going to give you the same advice that she gave LeBron James. Shut up and stick to sports. Because you don't know what to say out your damn mouth. You over here blaming single mothers for what happened to that, to what happened to Kyrie Nichols? As someone that was raised by a single mother, I am highly offended. Because I've never gangbanged, I've never been incarcerated, I've never used drugs. So I'm highly offended. A lot of successful people were raised by single mothers, including, guess who? The man that you and a lot of people love to hate, Barack Hussein Obama. And here you are, instead of blaming the officers for what they did, you want to blame it on a single mother? You want to say single mothers are the problem here? Yes, we have a problem in our community. But here's the thing. If a shoe is hurting you, I'm going to talk about the specific shoe. I'm not going to make it about other shoes in my house. Meaning, let's focus on the matter at hand, sir. But you were right about one thing. You were right. I will give you this. You were right about one thing. What they did to Kyrie Nichols was gang assault. Nothing short of that. As someone who has been attacked by gang members on more than one occasion, I know what gang assault looks like and feels like. And that's exactly what they did. So you're right in that regard, Mr. Whitlock. But you really need to take a good look in the mirror and reevaluate yourself, sir. Because what you said on Fox News is a disgrace and a big slap in the face to not just every hardworking single black woman that works hard to provide for her children, but your own mother. Because I'm pretty sure you came from a black woman. So you should be defending a black woman. Now, you're aside, sir. Let me get to Auntie Ruckus, a.k.a. Candace Owens. Come here. Let me stress you out real quick. Because when are you going to get it, woman? When are you going to get it? You consistently make it about other things than what it actually is. I get it. You are trying to appeal to your audience. Make your paper, boo-boo. But just remember, just as how they encourage you to talk bad about their people and justify what happens negatively to your people, if and when it happens to you, and it's only a matter of when, don't cry foul. They told you how they feel about you. They showed you how they feel about you. So, that's it for Miss Coonesian. Your aside. Now, Mr. Former Sheriff Clark, you, sir, are what I call, you're worse than a Coonesian. You are what I call a coon dog, because you're the type of person that will see a young man on the street going about his business, not bothering anyone, without a care in the world, and go up to him and say, you look like you got warrants. And As a matter of fact, to all three of you, you talk about what's wrong in your community. What have you done to help? What have you done to help? You know what? Let me not even address y'all anymore. Go on about yourselves. And don't let me stress you out again. I had to do that for Boogie B. Rest in peace to him. Now, back to the matter at hand. It's sad that we have to be having this conversation over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm really tired of having this conversation. Now, a lot of y'all got upset at Whoopi Goldberg for what she said. And what she said is right. And you tried to twist her words around to talk about cancel Whoopi Goldberg. Let me tell all of you and ABC News and ABC something. We will cancel ABC before we cancel Whoopi Goldberg, because she is a legend, unlike most of you speaking on her. And she was right to say what she said. And I hope justice will be served. And as for you, officers that were involved, I hope the worst for you. I hope the worst. I hope when you are finally incarcerated, they put you in Gen Pop with some of the former people that you arrested and are in prison with you because of you. I hope you are right there. And as for you, Mr. Demetrius, you have got to be the lowest piece of crap if this is true. Well, it's when we see that there is truth to it. You have got to be the lowest piece of trash I have ever seen. That's why you beat a man that only weighs 140 pounds to feed your fragile ego. You did that to him and dragged down 7-8 other people for pussy. Yeah? You did that for pussy. You are a sad piece of crap. And you deserve the worst. And guess what? That same woman, if she didn't want you before, she don't want you now. You're a piece of garbage. And you know the sad part? There are other assholes out there that are just like you. You just had the means and the method to do what you want to do. Well, I hope it was worth it, because what they got waiting for you. And I, you know what I wish for you, especially Mr. Haley, Demetrius Haley? You know what I wish for you? I hope, if this is true, that same woman comes to court and testifies against you. I weep for the family. Matter of fact, the main person I'm sorry for all of this, I'm sorry for, is the son of Tyree Nichols, because he has to grow up without his father. They always talk about, you heard Mr. Whitlock, Mr. talking about no father structure, no father, no father here, no father there. Well, you keep killing people's fathers. You keep putting situations where they are obsolete in the home, i.e. throwing them in jail for lengthy periods for basically doing the bare minimum, killing them. So of course, there will be no father figure in the home. So, my punishment for all those five officers is that when that young boy is old enough, he comes to see you all in prison, look you in the eye, and then you have to explain to him why you killed his father. And then right after that, he spits in your face. That's what I wish for you. I had to get that out, ladies and gentlemen. So, tune into my next episode where I talk about something a little bit more pleasant, and I'm gonna have some guests on. Always seek truth, stay positive. Rage Against the Machine, love, peace, and chicken grease. Deuces.